What's that I hear? Is that Big News Wednesday? Indeed it is. It's Big News Wednesday. I'm John Arola. That's JR Jackson. JR, how's it going?
I feel like I need to start having like a wardrobe change, since that goes from like 3 minutes ago. I was just on my show wearing the same thing, and I pop in, it's like nothing changes. We need to tighten this up a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I was watching the Golden Globes last night, and between basically every time the host talked, you put in a different outfit. Why can't you do those switches? Of course, you probably don't have six people ready to like.
Bro, I was just gonna say that. Yo, we need to send a letter to Cenk. Someone is involved with this. And be like, listen, I need a wardrobe, a whole rack right here next to me. I need three. I need three.
Assistants. I mean, okay, because you have the rack.
Bro, we're not supposed to be exposing me like this.
Well, you know what? I know that like nobody cares about the studio anymore, and nobody comes here anymore. But I think you and I should take a stand. We should keep trying to improve this place. We've been talking about having some sort of recharging station for like phones and laptops and stuff. I'm gonna make that happen. Anyway, this is all behind the scenes. That's not Big News Wednesday. No, the news is Big News Wednesday, and we've got some pretty big news to talk about, including further updates on the Joe Biden doc scandal, which is every bit as serious as the one Donald Trump was suffering under. We're gonna take a look at what the GOP has been doing in the House. They've actually been passing some stuff, and they're about to pass some other stuff, and it's horrible. And hey, remember when the Republicans were like, okay, so we're like outlawing abortion, and we're gonna be locking up the doctors and stuff like that, because that's what you do in an advanced Western nation. But we're not gonna lock up the women. Yeah, about that. We're gonna be talking about that in a little bit. And then also Andrew Tate, just great updates on Andrew Tate. I'm here for it. In the aftermath though, if you stay for the full show, and if you're listening on the podcast, watching on the linear platforms, remember you can always go to our YouTube channel and watch the clips of what goes on in the aftermath. But that said, Kenny Clips has acquired some video that Tesla didn't want you to see. That's gonna be fun. Also, should we be digitally cloning our dead relatives? We're gonna have a little debate going on in a little bit. So should be fun. In advance of that, please hit the like button, share the stream so people know we're live. And if you wanna send us any comments, tweets, or super chats, we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, JR, are you ready to start the show?
Yeah, I'm thinking about the cloning. That's amazing. I can't wait.
It's gonna be a fun one. Maybe my favorite story of the day. But before that, we got this. So let's jump into it. We've already broken down the many, many ways in which the Joe Biden document scandal is very different from the Trump one. But we knew that it would fall on deaf Republican ears. And indeed, they're continuing to press what they see as a fake advantage over Biden, with James Comer, the chair of the House Oversight Committee, saying President Biden has been very critical of President Trump, mistakenly taking classified documents to the residence or wherever. I don't even know where. I don't know where it was. Nobody really knows. Who's to say? And now it seems like he may have done the same. How ironic. Again, that's not what irony is, but more importantly, that paragraph is something. President Trump mistakenly taking it. You know, it's like when he tracked toilet paper up the like stairs to his plane. The classified docs were just stuck to the bottom of his shoe, and he accidentally brought them home with him or whatever. What do you mean mistakenly? They packed them up, and you could even, if that had been it, you could say that that was a mistake, that they just bundled him up with other docs. That appears to be what happened with Joe Biden, but you lose them mistakenly when you refuse to give them back when you're repeatedly asked to. And also, he took them to the residence or wherever. No, he took them to Mar-a-Lago. I know that you know that because you're mad about the raid, which happened at Mar-a-Lago. And Biden appears to have done the same. No, he does not appear to have done the same. He didn't intentionally pack up documents from the White House and bring them to his personal residence and then refuse to give them back for literally years. He had some at an office he worked at, and he gave them back as soon as he found them. But whatever, I don't want to get between James Comer and his false equivalents, JR.
Yeah, this is one of those things. I had Mayor Mondale Robinson on Watchlist yesterday. And we mentioned a little bit of this whole thing that was going on, and he was pointing out, and it's very easy because it was a gift to basically these MAGA folks. And this is a good illustration of it right here with what James Comer was saying. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to have any validity to it. It can be just them spotting off what they want to say because of how ironic, without it actually matching up with anything else. It's a gift because they don't have to actually prove anything to folks. They don't have to have cohesive thought processes. They just have to say it and go, isn't that messed up? And then their followers go, oh yeah, it is messed up, totally. It's exactly the same thing, it's what happened, exactly. And in order to do that, you have to eliminate some of the details, which of course you did there. It went to the residents or wherever, and this is exactly the same thing. But if you actually point out the facts of each of the cases, it's actually not exactly the same thing. But if they're being honest, they could say, look at what Joe, the president, is now done after talking all this trash, or his subordinates and supporters talking all this trash about President Trump. Yep. He's got classified documents too, and that could end there because that's what happened. Now, after that, it's much different. You can be upset that he's got classified documents. You may even ask the question, how much does this happen with former presidents? And maybe what Trump did wasn't as bad, he just doesn't know how to remedy the situation. You could actually say that stuff.
Yeah.
But you can't, because you're not looking for any actual factual conversation about this. You're looking for revenge points and gotcha. And that's how Republicans in power will go forward.
I'm just sick of like the news that we cover having to necessarily cover relatively dumb people who are incentivized to pretend to be even dumber than they are. That's the tagline of American politics. It's not like we're starting with the smartest people in positions of power, and everything about their base, the media, the news cycle, all of that incentivizes them to appear to be as dumb as humanly possible. So congratulations, James Comer, you hit the mark for today. Anyway, with that said, I want to turn to Joe Biden. He was asked about this at a news conference in Mexico City. Let's jump directly into this video.
They immediately call the archives, turn them over to the archives. And I was briefed about this discovery and surprised to learn that there were any government records that were taken there to that office. I've turned over the boxes, they've turned over the boxes to the archives, and we're cooperating fully with the review, and which I hope will be finished soon, and there'll be more detail at that time.
Let's Joe Biden respond to questions about this. I know that the Republicans have wanted him to make a statement. I am sure that now their concerns have been mollified. I'm sure that they're fine. Okay, look, I don't love Joe Biden. Okay, full transparency, I voted for Joe Biden because that's the difficult sort of decision that's put on progressives who want to actually engage with the system and push for progress in every opportunity where they can. But that said, I don't believe that he never lies. I don't believe that he never breaks the law. When he lies, when he breaks the law, I feel like we have a pretty good track record of pointing that out. That said, barring evidence of some nefarious plot wherein he had these documents at an office that I have no reason to believe he's been to in a couple of years, I feel like I'm ready to accept what he said, that he had no idea that the documents were still there, might never have known that the documents were there. And by the way, even if you accept, as I do, that explanation, that doesn't mean that it's not wrong or that it shouldn't be investigated. In fact, like yesterday, I'll go way beyond that and say, Axios has this article, special counsel decision looms over Biden documents probe. So Merrick Garland's gonna have to decide whether they should appoint a special counsel to look at a Biden. Why not just have the current special counsel, Jack Smith, or whatever the hell his generic name is, have him look into that as well. Why is everyone acting like that's not a possibility? Why is everyone acting like that would be, like if that happens, then well, obviously whatever happens to the one has to happen to the other. No, because the situation is different. And I'm not afraid of Biden being investigated. If there is any evidence that they tried to get the documents back and he fought returning them, if there's any even evidence that he did know that they were there, that he specifically brought them there to steal and give to China or whatever, as we'll get to, then yeah, take him down too. Get rid of that legal memo that stops the current president from being indicted or whatever. I would be perfectly fine with that. That's the standard I think we should all support.
Well, I'm sure the investigations will get to that that conclusion. By the way, an investigation in this would be when was he there? How did it come to this point? And also, Are there others? Are there stuff that has been given to other folks? Because again, when those things were, I guess, still being investigated by generic Jack Smith or Williams or Johnson, don't know his name, but whatever's being investigated, even in the Trump cases, what they did find out was he continued to lie. Yeah, I know you pointed this out. Continue to lie, continue to hide, continue to have his attorney say it's all done, it's all good. Those are things that make your spidey sense go up and say something nefarious is going on here. And if someone else says, yeah, they were there, I'm not sure how they got there, you can say, I think you're lying. You know, you find out if they're lying, investigate it and figure the whole thing out, which I think is what they're pointing out, saying Merrick Garland's have to appoint someone to do just that. So what are we upset about right now? Is he hiding it? Is he glossing over it? Is he saying, no big deal, I've got more, but I'm not going to tell you about it because I get to do this, because I get to be the one who, by thinking about it, declassifies information. All this stuff happened. Let's not forget all the things that happened while we're making these comparisons. But sure, as I said too, John, as you pointed out, yo, Joe Biden is not my grandfather. Investigate him if he's doing wrongdoings. And if you find something for real, get him.
Yeah, 100%. He is also not my grandpa. He admittedly looks very similar to my grandpa, actually. I think I'm gonna have to do like a side by side. My grandfather, Pat Iadarola, was awesome, by the way. It is a great shame that I don't think any of you got to meet him. He was really cool. I liked him better than Biden, actually. I would have been in favor of him being president. He was way more argumentative than Joe Biden, but maybe that's what we needed. Anyway, also, he could play the hell out of a saxophone. I'm just gonna put that out there. With that said, I wanna turn to a little bit of, what's that?
That's all that's needed, apparently, from like 1992 when Clinton did it, right? Yeah. Didn't he play saxophone? It was Bill played saxophone on like the Tonight Show or something. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. It might have been on what's that late night show?
Tonight Show, wasn't it?
I'm gonna fail. I thought it was on like Montel Jordan. Oh no, Arsenio Hall.
Was
yes.
It? Oh, maybe it was.
Yes, in any event, we'll talk more about old people playing the saxophone in our break. I wanna get to a little bit of fun, so let's jump right into this next video.
This sounds a little similar, Carl.
Well, there are differences, but you can't make this stuff up, but there are differences. For example, how many documents? In Biden's case, there appear to be about 10. In the case of President Trump, hundreds. How did they get there? We don't yet know how the documents got to the Biden office connected with his activities on behalf of the University of Pennsylvania. We know that President Trump ordered the removal of the documents to Mar-a-Lago. How responsive were they when the Biden people found out about it? They immediately called the appropriate authorities and turned them over. We spent a year and a half watching the drama unfold in Mar-a-Lago, and it had to end in a police search to recover the documents.
Yeah, those are some significant differences. We talked about, I think, all of those yesterday on our show, but I didn't expect to see Karl Rove going on Fox News of all places and doing a relatively mediocre impersonation of Katie Porter, but citing some good facts there. I enjoyed that. Trump did not. He bleated in response to that. Bear in mind, he doesn't watch Fox News. It's very bad and its ratings are bad. And yet he did see that instantaneously. And he bleated. Karl Rove was, as usual, wrong when he stated that then VP Biden's highly confidential papers, which were in his office for many years, were in any way similar to the Secret Service guarded and otherwise very secure Mar-a-Lago papers. They were very secure. I tricked people by having no locks on the closet, because who would be fool enough to put classified docs in an unlocked closet? It's the ultimate subterfuge. Biden was not then president, had no power to declassify, and came under the very tough Federal Records Act. I came under the much more generous, like Santa Claus, Presidential Records Act. Was having productive discussions with radical left NARA and did everything right. A giant S scam. Referencing that particular bleat, I think. He was having productive conversations with NARA. They were requesting the documents he was legally required to give back, and he was flipping them the digital bird. I guess that's productive. I don't know, JR. What do you think?
It's pretty obvious. That's the whole point, right? But then again, it goes back to the same thing. His whole thing starts with Karl Rove, which then allows you to illustrates to everyone again Everything is based upon partisanship, and we keep talking about how these Democrats keep us from unity, always complaining and over again and dividing us and saying bad things about the other side and constantly, well, we need is some unity. When are these unifiers gonna come to America? This guy that they followed for the entire time he was in office is the biggest divisive person that we've had in a very, very long time. We've got a bunch of them, but he still starts right away with Karl Rove, who's this Bush person, W's people, who has all kinds of horrible things about him, which makes this surprising that he's defending Biden, because maybe, you know, it's the centered around the establishment areas of government. But he's mad at him because it's Karl Rove. If it was Eric Swalwell, if it was anyone else that he generally hates, Schiff, any of those folks, it's not the same to him, because by definition, if you're Republican, you absolutely 100% cannot have a normal thought process and go, well, wait a second, this is different. That's what he's teaching his folks in these types of things. Like, listen, you guys like Karl Rove, right? Don't be like him and switch sides. There's facts based on this, but we have to ignore those. It's the way the conservatives have been going about this for many, many years.
Yeah. I mean, certainly in the earlier segment, James Comer was ignoring some inconvenient facts about this story. Also, just quick side note, there's got to be at least one frame in that where Karl Rove was holding up the whiteboard that could be made into a meme. I would love it if members of our audience would use that and send some to me on Twitter. Anyway, look, as deranged and as fact-free as Donald Trump's first bleat was, he goes even crazier in the second, saying, and I swear this is what it really says, Biden's documents are highly confidential. Many pertain to Ukraine. How does he know that? We have no idea what the documents are about. Okay, where Hunter was raking in the dough and funded by China, which gave $55 million to Biden through Penn and Sean Penn and probably had easy access. Was the old crow's boss, China-loving Coco Chow, involved? Just asking? You can, but you say just asking. You don't just ask just asking. Do you not know how just asking works? Anyway, okay, so he knows what the docs are about, even though nobody else appears to know what the docs are about. Hunter was raking in the dough and was funded by China. I don't know if he's saying that Hunter Biden was funded by China or if the documents were funded by China, but apparently Biden got $55 million. I would love to see some evidence of that. I don't believe Biden has $55 million, let alone got it in one lump sum from China or Ukraine or the former Secretary of Transportation. I don't know. It's all over the place.
What do you think, is what are these called? I think they're called like criminal boards. What do you think Donald Trump's criminal board looks like when he truths out things like that? How many different people have been connected in this spider web of conspiracy? Now we've got Mitch McConnell's wife, who the whole point about that aspect is to throw in the racial tones there again, about how much, again, it's letting everyone know I'm a huge racist, and I'm even gonna go after Mitch McConnell's wife on this, who was in your administration. Let's not forget that part. But still, from that to connecting all these different pieces, I'm sure the people that still follow him are still like in somewhere in their brain, they're like, I don't know what the hell he's talking about, but sure, I'm on board. I'll repeat that stupidity too. And if you don't think so, check out any time they've been interviewed outside of a rally. That's what they do.
It's just madness, JR. He has no idea what he's saying. And he doesn't care because he doesn't have to. Again, have to. Incentives. How many like people who have been to a Trump rally are like, that's a bridge too far. I think there are some leaps in logic there. Not a single person. No. Anyway, we're gonna continue to track this. But for now, we do have to take our first break. We come back, we're gonna be touching base with what's going on with the House. They have been making some insane moves, and we're gonna be breaking them down after this. The next 2 years are gonna be chock full of investigations, and the House GOP isn't waiting. They've spooled up their new committee with a perfectly party line vote to create their committee that's gonna look into the weaponization of the federal government. And so we're gonna break down what this committee is going to be doing. I just wanna briefly mention that it is somewhat, I think, noteworthy that they are simultaneously beginning their look into the weaponization of the federal government and also promising that they're gonna be investigating the family of Joe Biden for whatever BS they see on 4chan for the next 2 years. Just thought that was interesting. Anyway, The new subcommittee is officially known as the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government. It's going to be housed under the House Judiciary Committee, which means that Jim Jordan is going to be responsible for it. I'm assuming he is going to be more responsible than he was when the lives and well-being of students were his responsibility. This, I think, he's going to actually care about and look after. The panel is going to be authorized to investigate executive branch agencies, particularly intelligence agencies, that gather information on American citizens, which, by the way, is not necessarily a bad thing. There should definitely be organizations looking into that. My issue is with the fact that it's the GOP and it's Jim Jordan is doing it. In fact, Ilhan Omar had previously expressed some interest in the committee, but ultimately voted against its creation just yesterday, saying, "I had high hopes. It looks like it's going to be about grievances. It looks like it's going to be about folks who are already under investigation trying to protect themselves." And I think that she's probably onto something, because already they've telegraphed the two of the things they're going to be looking into is any investigation whatsoever into Donald Trump. So they want to protect him from these investigations. Any investigation into January 6th, they want to protect the people who tried to overthrow the US government from any consequences. And also parents that have been targeted by the DOJ for protesting critical race theory at local school boards, which is definitely a thing that has definitely been going on. Anyway, those are their priorities so far when it comes to the weaponization of the government. JR, what do you think?
Pretty crazy though. They're looking to have this whole board and this panel to check out this weaponization of the government. But oddly, the weaponization of the government, they're looking to find into this. But when it comes to the Congressional Ethics Office, they want to cut that one down. Weird how they display exactly what they care about and the reasons why they do. So we're going to talk about the weaponization and the attacks on Americans from the government, how they come after you. I think I know what that hints towards, especially the reasons why they're pointing certain people and put people in spots that they do, because they know what they want. But and when it comes to oversight upon their ethics and the things that they're doing, we got to make sure we get rid of all that stuff. This then comes after they were complaining about Nancy Pelosi and all the insider trading, which was a big valid concern that I think everyone that wants non-corrupted government officials to actually be a part of. Why not have it investigate things like that? Because all of them were involved in things like that. But when it comes to making sure that something is politically investigated for the point of politics and making yourself look a certain way before the next election, that's just what it is. If you watched as closely as I did that whole 3 or 4 day debacle with McCarthy and the speakership vote, all the stuff they were talking about, we're getting these investigations. And for the next 2 years, if we're going to put it up towards the president and Senate, and if they don't do it, we're just going to talk about it in 24. That is the plan. That two sentences that they said is everything they're looking to do. This is just step one.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought up, we talked about it yesterday. So they believe that they need to look into what are going to end up being their political opponents and protect their own people from being investigated. They also got rid of the board that is independent that looks into both sides' ethical violations and possible criminal acts. So again, this is just about protecting the powerful. That's what it's about. And so
it's creating a narrative for the next election. That's all it is.
Yeah, look, if they find anything, sure, that'll be interesting. The issue is that the dichotomy is not and never has been they don't find anything or they do find something. That would be great. That's founded in reality. There is a third option, which is they don't find anything, but they say stuff that makes their side think they've found stuff every week for the next 2 years. And so we have to have Tucker Carlson monologues with an incredibly condescending tone of voice and a slack-jawed look on his face, where he implies that they've uncovered the biggest crime that's ever committed in American political history. And the next week there's the biggest crime that's ever been committed in American political history, just over and over and over again. And I want you to buckle up, because we're gonna have to be doing a lot of reactions to that over the next 2 years until hopefully the Democrats take the House back, although that will be difficult for a few different reasons. With that said, I do wanna turn to one of the other priorities coming up right now. House Republicans are focused on setting up their body to investigate the DOJ and all that, and also strip away your reproductive rights. But also, there are big things coming, because they have made very little effort to hide that their legislative priorities involve massive cuts to social spending, specifically Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. They are coming for it. They don't like the fact that money is being spent by the government to benefit regular working people. That necessitates taxes being, in their view, high. And so Bear in mind that they're already setting up for this. We already had this proposed cut to the IRS funding that happened. That funding, by the way, is gonna bring in far more funding when they stop tax evasion and tax fraud amongst the wealthy in America. And so he's already said, by the way, he's going to agree to cap spending for next year at fiscal 2022 levels, which would amount to over $130 billion in cuts from last month's $1.7 trillion government funding bill. So he stops the IRS from bringing in more money. He's pledging that he's gonna do these big cuts. So pressed on whether changes to the entitlement programs such as Medicare and Social Security were part of what's gonna happen coming up very soon with the debt ceiling, he said he's not gonna predetermine anything, which I find to be highly reassuring. If somebody is threatening you and you ask if they have a gun in their pocket and they say, I don't wanna predetermine the weapons I have, then I stop sweating immediately. No. He is saying that because he doesn't want to admit publicly in the news months before the debate that they are definitely looking to cut all of these incredibly popular necessary programs. But he doesn't want to say that they're not going to do it because then that would be a lie that he could be called out on. So he is being a weasel and being evasive in a way that you and I, who this is not our first day in this rodeo, knows exactly what he's saying. They took power. They immediately stopped any oversight over themselves, and now they're gonna stick a thumb in the eye of the people, the very people who voted for them. Because think about how many poor conservatives desperately need their Social Security checks, are on Medicare and Medicaid. And now they have voted in the people who are going to economically devastate them, but it's definitely coming. Jared, what do you think?
Yo, so McCarthy doesn't want to predetermine anything. I'm going to focus on that part. So entitlement programs, Medicare, Social Security, which we know Republicans for a long time have been talking about wanting to get rid of, privatize, screw people over because they're being told by the folks that pay them to do this. Or they just generally hate the American people, whichever one, take the one you'd like. But when asked about it, he says he doesn't want to predetermine anything. This guy was hell-bent on being Speaker of the House for years, has been working on that. That's why the whole vote took so long. It's why those 20 or so hold outs did what they did, because they knew this is the of utmost importance to Kevin McCarthy. Do you think someone who's had this many plans this far in advance to become speaker and maybe even try to find a way to position himself even more in his party politically hasn't thought about this? He doesn't want to predetermine it. He's definitely predetermined it in his mind. And by the way, Kevin, if you haven't predetermined the way you can approach these things, since you're talking about the cuts so much, aren't you an incompetent piece of garbage? Don't you not know what you're doing? If you're the Speaker of the House and you're setting forward the agenda and all your people are there behind you and you have this unified Republican front in the House, if you don't know what you guys are gonna go towards and do next, even if I support it, you're a bad speaker. You don't know what you're doing. It's a lie is what it is, because he doesn't, as you pointed out, show that they are gonna go down the same road, which is very unpopular with the American people. That's their problem. To do unpopular things and screw people over, and then after doing so, act like you didn't know it was coming. It's just something happened with the political process within the House. He knows what he's up to, and he just doesn't wanna say it. And until someone says, how is it that you're a competent human being and don't know what you're gonna do as Speaker of the House, second in line for the presidency, and you have no idea what you're gonna do? That's a big problem. Hey, anybody who works in a project at their work and your boss comes up and says, hey, yo, we have this thing that's happening. We're gonna get to this particular point by March. Do you have an idea of how you're gonna get to that point? I'm not gonna predetermine anything that's gonna happen in the future. He's like, get the hell out of here, you're fired.
No, it's weasel behavior. He is a weasel. Ted Cruz,
only politician
loser. And he's a weaselly coward. That's all. It's like one of my animal short stories. He has one other weaselly move that he's going to use. So really fast, but before the show, JR and I were talking about back a long time ago when we used to watch wrestling and wishing that you could like relive those glory days. Well, I've got a little bit of a reboot that's about to come to American politics. If you missed some of the debates 5-10 years ago, where they were like seriously considering massive structural changes to Social Security and Medicare, they're about to roll out the exact same ones. Because I'm not saying that they're not gonna try to cut benefits for current recipients of Social Security. I think that they despise people enough that they just might do that. But they also know that that is highly dangerous politically. So they have a little weasel move that they've proposed before that they're gonna do again, which is, I mean, we're not gonna affect the people that are using it right now. They might get up in arms. But all of you younger people, screw you. We're gonna bake in changes that are gonna wreck your eventual futures, gambling with your lives and your vote that it's not going to scare you enough because you don't use it right now. So you should know the Republican Study Committee has already proposed a budget for fiscal 2023 that would gradually increase the eligibility ages for Social Security and Medicare and change the Social Security benefit formula for people 54 and younger, while not changing it for people closer to receiving benefits. Weasel move. So if you're not on it yet, they're making these small changes. Well, what do those mean in practice? Raising the eligibility age just robs you. So if it takes 2 more years before you get it, every single one of those checks you would have gotten, they just stole from you. They pre-stole it from you. And they're gonna change the benefit formula. I wonder how it's gonna change. Could go down, could go up. Who knows? Maybe you'll make more money. I wouldn't bet your future on it. They're gonna make you wait longer to get it, and they're gonna give you less money when you finally do. They're just hoping that you'll be too blind, dumb, or busy with life to react accordingly to it. Any final thoughts, JR?
The question then is whether or not people will pay enough attention to then do something about it. And also, by the way, I love the way you put it. Maybe more politicians should say such a thing, considering they're telling you how you're stealing from me, and have your kids are endangered and groomers and all that stuff that they've been pushing to get people so upset. Maybe someone should point out they're stealing from you. Somebody call the effing cops, because these guys are robbing you. Hey, when someone breaks into your house, hey, stand your ground, right? Hey, castle law, whatever the hell they talk about when they call it. What happens when somebody's in your bank account taking your money? Because by the way, which I think someone pointed out, which I say all the time too, hey, this is our money.
Yep.
This is my money.
Okay, well, that is shockingly not all that they've been up to this week. So why don't we jump into our C block?
If a baby's born alive outside the womb, in some states they actually are allowing that baby to be killed and calling it abortion. It's murder, and yet it's legal in some states. Even people that identify as pro-choice think that that's disgusting and immoral and shouldn't be allowed in America, and yet it is.
Yeah, disgusting and immoral and shouldn't be allowed, as is many things that I could just make up that aren't actually happening. Isn't that a fun way to do politics? Just, okay, so we've tried to convince people that exercising the rights they've had for their entire lives shouldn't be allowed, that should be stripped away from them. And it turns out that they don't agree with us. And in fact, when we do that, they vote against us. So maybe they're killing like fully alive kids. Maybe 1-year-olds and 2-year-olds are being butchered by the government. Does that get you to take our position yet? I mean, I know it's a lie and all that. But the issue is that Steve Scalise spinning lies like that isn't just a sick rhetorical tool that he's using. No, the Republican Party is already passing bills. Not one, but 2 different votes having to do with abortion. So one of these would condemn attacks on pro-life facilities, groups, and churches, while the other would force medical practitioners to provide care to infants who survive an abortion, a very rare occurrence, which even that is the insane fantasy that Steve Scalise was spinning there. By the way, on the first one, the idea that you're not allowed to attack these facilities, it is purely a messaging thing. So they know how much political violence is coming from their side. And so to both sides it, they pass a bill like that, doing what would not be debatable or divisive or controversial. You can't attack these churches. Doesn't matter that nobody is. If you pass a bill banning it or raising the consequences for it, then it implies that something bad is happening. And so that I think is absolutely ridiculous. I'm more worried about the messaging around the second one. So I'm gonna give you a little bit more information about it. On Monday, Republicans reintroduced the misleadingly titled Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which threatens medical providers with up to 5 years in prison if they don't attempt to resuscitate babies allegedly born alive after attempted abortions, even if the abortion was performed due to lethal fetal abnormalities. Medical organizations note that there's already a law on this topic. Additional bills are unnecessary. Even voters in Montana rejected a ballot measure that would have forced doctors to provide care to even non-viable infants against families' wishes. Because it's not an actual thing that is a scourge that needs to be fixed. The law isn't necessary. Conservatives aren't even pushing for this. But when they say that it's not necessary, they mean it's not legally necessary. It's not medically necessary. That is not to say that it's not necessary politically. for the rabid anti-abortion people who I told you last year are not gonna simply be satisfied because Roe v. Wade was destroyed. They had that big meal, they chewed on it, they enjoyed it, but now they want more. They hunger for even the perception that more is being done to strip away rights. And that's what these sorts of bills are intended to do. Jared, what do you think?
The whole point, and as we mentioned on something else before, this goes back to more legislation or investigations or anything they're gonna do in the House to try and set up for 2024. It has nothing to do with actually legislating or helping Americans, even the folks who are rapidly supporting them. Steve Scalise there said in that first video we did that a murder is allowed in some states. He believes it's murder. Okay, Steve, if you believe that it's murder, did he join the Black Lives Matter protests and all those folks that were in the streets in the summer of 2020? Did he join them out in the streets when people were murdered by cops on a wide scale across the country at a weird rate for certain folks that are completely unarmed, maybe not doing anything, or just assumed to be criminals? Was he out in the streets when those murders happened? Because obviously some of these folks, some of these officers, I know a small percentage, actually got thrown into jail for murder. Either Steve Scalise doesn't believe that those were murders, so he disagrees with the justice system, very un-American of you, Steve, or he doesn't think those folks were humans. Maybe that wasn't an actual murder, because that's the way they talk about folks who don't believe in or who believe in allowing women's right to choose about their bodies. They're like, well, you don't believe they're real human beings? How dare you? Hey, these are living, breathing human beings with names who had lived 35, 40 years of their life but were murdered by cops. Were you out in the streets trying to stop the state-sanctioned murder of humans? In fact, Americans, Steve? No, he wasn't. He doesn't give a damn about that because it's not about his political approach. Has he been out in the streets about these shootings? Children out in Uvalde that got shot up. Every other elementary school that has folks getting killed. How about the middle schools and high schools that happened to? Those folks die, and it's murder. The people who commit it go to jail. Steve, do you care about those murders, or have you continued to support our gun policies in the nation to continue to allow people to do this stuff? It's weird how he doesn't care about murder until it's this kind of murder that he likes to talk about. It's almost like he has no principles or something.
Yeah, again, it's like with QAnon and everything. It's they hyper-focus on the made-up death, and they don't care about the one that's actually like staring them right in the face. You're 100% right. I don't think he's gonna respond to your request there though. It's probably to his benefit to not try. Anyway, with that said, I wanna turn to another related story. Yes, last year after Roe v. Wade was destroyed, the Republicans who finally had gotten what they wanted, they had been chasing that car and they finally caught up to it, did an about face rhetorically, implying that, oh, we don't want any more. We're not going for like IVF or anything. We're not gonna be like doing any more restrictions or whatever. And above all else, let us reassure you that we are not going to be trying to lock up women. We're not gonna be doing that. It's just the doctors, as if that's not reprehensible enough. We're just trying to lock them up. We're not coming for anyone else. Yeah, well, not so much. So we need to talk about the FDA, which had recently updated a rule to allow brick and mortar pharmacies to dispense a particular abortion pill if you have a prescription. It doesn't really fundamentally change the access to it. The pharmacies still individually have to go through a certification process to be able to dispense it. Many of the states with these hard bans against abortion aren't gonna allow it to happen anyway. But that said, some AGs wanna reassure you that you shouldn't get like any thoughts about crossing borders or whatever and bringing this stuff back, because they will still be prosecuting. Not the pharmacist, not the doctor who's doing the prescription, but the actual person consuming the medication. So this is Steve Marshall, Attorney General for Alabama. AL.com reported that Marshall said that he was open to prosecuting women who take abortion pills, even though Alabama's abortion law explicitly targets abortion providers for prosecution and says that women who receive abortions should not be subject to criminal charges. However, Marshall's office thinks it's found a way around this so that women who take abortion pills can be potentially thrown in jail. Taking one more small step towards Gilead right there. We told you this. We told you this, we told you this. They were lying all last year. They just didn't want more people to turn against them in the midterms. And it turned out that it was a devastating effect on the midterms for them. And when Ronna McDaniel was saying just a couple of weeks ago that we're recalibrating on abortion, we're turning to other topics. Yeah, Ronna McDaniel's gonna say that at the top, but it's state legislatures, the House majority for the Republicans, their AGs, their Supreme Courts, no, full court press to strip away even more rights and indeed do lock people up for for exercising their reproductive rights. JR, what do you think?
Only last thought about this. As you point out, they point out folks are hyperventilating over this issue. Well, was the hyperventilating right or wrong? I look forward to us replaying a lot of things that they said versus what they're doing. That's all.
Look, because again, they need their base, their rabid anti-abortion base, which is 20-25% of the country, whatever, to support them. Not necessarily so they can win elections, although they don't want those people to turn on them. But they desperately need them to support them individually, or else another Republican is just going to run as being more anti-abortion. And so despite the fact that they destroyed Roe v. Wade, the battle is going to continue. Anyway, with that said, we do have to take our second break. When we come back, we're gonna be talking about stoves. Not generally something we focus on a lot on the show, but there's good reason now. So don't go anywhere, we'll be right back. Okay, so hold on. I'd asked during the break for people to define what the Dem party would be, DEM. I've got dilapidated equality managers, deflection, exaggeration, mistakes. Yeah, maybe. I could see that working. Okay, with that said, this is probably gonna be our last story for the hour, unfortunately. But with that said, let's jump into it.
Gas. Cooking with gas.
Cooking with gas.
We all cook better when we're cooking with gas.
Gas is so hot, it's not on when it's off. It's the only way to cook. That's what I was taught.
Who says I don't like music? So obviously gas is very, very cool. I mean, not cool, it's hot, but it's cool that it's hot. Anyway, that was a promotional video for cooking with gas stoves from, I hope, a long time ago. The longer ago, the more acceptable it becomes. But despite propaganda like that from the companies making money off of having you use gas for your cooking, it turns out it actually has some negative effects. So the federal government is now looking into whether we need to phase out the technology. And I use that language very intentionally to try to avoid conservatives pretending that what's being called for is people showing up at your house and taking your stove away. No one is calling for that, and it's not going to happen. Do we understand that? Okay, maybe we can proceed. Anyway, for years, scientists and health advocates have been trying to bring attention to what they consider a sort of hidden source of air pollution inside at least 40 million homes in the US, because cooking with gas releases gas into the home, and that stuff, I almost swore, isn't consequence free. It jumpstarts childhood asthma, increases the risk of respiratory problems, and of course is gas that goes into the atmosphere, which is bad for it in terms of climate change. And in response to that, now something is finally beginning to be done. On Monday, Richard Trumka Jr., one of the four commissioners of the US Consumer Product Safety Commission, said in an interview that the agency was considering a ban on gas stoves, or at least standards around the amount of toxic fumes such stoves can spew into Americans' kitchens. So either phasing out the technology in new construction, or making it so that the stoves have to be more efficient and not waste so much gas just putting it out into the homes. He said this is a hidden hazard, any option is on the table, products that can't be made safe can be banned. Although again, it is not going to be taken out of your home. He responded to a tweet from Gary Palmer saying, over 40 million American households use gas stoves. This type of power should never have been given to unelected bureaucrats, and it's time for it to end, by saying, to be clear, CPSC isn't coming for anyone's gas stoves. Regulations apply to new products. For Americans who choose to switch from gas to electric, there is support available, including in the Inflation Reduction Act, an $840 rebate, which can help to defray the cost of that transition. So again, this would be for new construction. They're not gonna be carting away your stoves, you morons. Although, in their defense, I have also read, and AOC pointed this out on Twitter, that the natural gas has also been linked to cognitive problems. So maybe this is just proving the point in their response to this discussion. But JR, what do you think?
The extreme emotional nature of legislators and people who want to push political agendas like this is blaring, but I don't know how we don't see it yet. Everything has to be, they're coming for you, they're coming for you, they're coming for you. It's technological advances. Anything that's progression or advancement, for some reason, has to be, they're coming to effing kill you. They want to take your stove out of your house because we've paid people to come and find your stove and take it out of your house. It's this cartoonish scenarios that they're putting together. It's why we have QAnon and stuff, and they're taken seriously because it's not. It's only one step further than the things elected officials say. It's insane. So, by the way, you can continue trying to use your gas stoves, but if technological advancements change these things, you might not have much of a reason to use it anymore. No, they're not going to come take it and smash it across your two-year-old's head because they're out to get you. It's weird. Yeah, bro, if you've got your iPod Nano still, you can still try to use it.
But you're probably not I do have one.
Can you use it?
I think I've charged it from time to time. I don't actually use it, but yeah.
Charged it. Bro, it's not useful anymore. You can have it when you see it laying around and be like, oh, I remember that from 2012 or something like that. You can have it, but it may not really work for your life anymore because the world has moved on. These people won't be stuck in this old age. It's craziness.
Exactly. Yeah. So like I guess pointing out that burning methane and other chemicals releases nitrogen dioxide, carbon monoxide, formaldehyde. It gets into your lungs, significantly raises the chance of your child having asthma. Is that what about save the children? You didn't really mean it. You didn't actually mean like I get it. You've got a gas stove and you have been trained by Fox News to believe that literally anything changing ever is Hitler stuff. But like, you know, we used to just cook on campfires. We moved on from that. Sometimes progress is a good thing. And again, you're not being forced to do it. With that said, I want to turn to another aspect of this. Let's launch into this next video.
A lot of politicians, you may have noticed, mistake themselves for God and decide they can control the intimate details of your life, including what kind of stove you use to cook your dinner. And politicians have been telling us for a long time, because of climate, you're not allowed to have a gas stove. But that doesn't make sense to people, because if they really cared about carbon emissions, they probably wouldn't be flying in private planes or blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline, which they did. So now they have a new tack to get rid of gas stoves. The Consumer Product Safety Commission is deciding on whether to ban gas stoves totally because of safety. Safety? We've had these stoves for over 100 years. It's totally fine to give fentanyl to addicts, but a gas stove is a threat to your life? Right.
And what has actually happened? And I ask this seriously. This isn't a dumb, shallow rhetorical question. I used my staff of producers to look into the negative health effects of it. But he didn't. He didn't. He doesn't care. He's not interested. The data of those 100 years show that kids who grow up in households that have the gas stoves are far more likely to have respiratory problems. This is not disputable at this point. He isn't interested. He is interested, like God only knows. Maybe he has a gas stove. I don't know. But I know that he doesn't give a damn about what happens to the kids of his viewers. And if they're more likely to have health problems, that is not something he is going to lose a second and a half of sleep over. He is using this as an easy tool to convince them that this is government overreach. And along the way, if he can imply that unless you literally never emit a single ounce of carbon, then you don't care about climate change, as if that has any bearing, any merit whatsoever as an argument, that is all that he's doing here. It is playing to fear of progress, fear of change amongst conservatives, even if it has negative effects on their families.
Yo, by the way, this is I was thinking about earlier. It's like the only way to refute science, like you said, evidence, science, studies, talking about what has happened to people is to go with fear and emotion. It's really weird how that works, because they like to also say that fear and emotion is something that, you know, those soft libs like to do, or they attribute it only to women. As we see fights break out in Congress and people getting angry and hair flowing all over the place and pushing and snatching each other's faces. Emotion, they use way more than the folks that they blame it on. But that's the only way you can get people to ignore what reality is. They have to be afraid of it. They have to be ready to think someone's coming for them. We've said it a million times, John. I'm big on gas-powered engines. I love the sound. I kind of like the smell. But you know what? What happens when advancement happens? You have to move on, because we're evolving human beings, except for the ones who just don't want to. It's really weird, but it's that much anger. You see how that works? He has to get mad and angry and tell them whatever. So only way you get someone to listen to nonsense is to get them emotional about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Just inspiring, stupid, like every single advancement, like more efficient light bulbs. They have to be against that. The stove, it's like literally anything. You just say, this is a thing that's changing. The M&M's packaging is changing. Doesn't that freak you out? Isn't that what the Nazis did? That's what they do. And they get very, very wealthy by by continually using that sort of like just absolutely brainless fear mongering. Why can't things improve?
John, I'm really fast. I'm not sure if this is true, but I assume back in the day people used like potbelly stoves in their houses to cook with logs thrown on the fire. Probably smoke in the house and you inhale all that stuff. They advanced to gas. Yeah. Maybe we can advance again. I'm just saying, maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe. That is unfortunately all the time we have for the first hour of the show. Thank you everyone who's been watching and or listening, but the aftermath is still to come, so we'll see you in just a few. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.